The Gaming Grunts present a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign, Storm King's Thunder.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode, episode 3 of Storm King's Thunder, brought to you by the Gaming Grunts. All right, let's see, today we have a guest player, Niru, who is going to be playing one of the NPCs to get a feel for how things work in this crazy game we play. And yeah, so we'll probably be explaining things a lot more than we normally do, why we're doing things and how things are working. So that's cool. All right. So when we left off, our intrepid heroes had been disturbed in their preparations to chase after the Black Spider. They were getting ready to go. They purchased mounts and were ready to hit the road when all of a sudden shouts of giants rose up, and it turns out that a couple of fire giants, along with a contingency of orcs riding wingless bird or flightless birds as mounts, along with some orcs and little tiny fiery creatures that look like animated magma creatures, little tiny guys, showed up and started attacking the town. A number of residents of the town came out to help defend their town, and our players have taken control of those particular NPCs, and they will be and one of them is the character that Niru is controlling. She has Dorathra Shendril. On that note, Lillian Allen specifically, actually, since I'm redressing the player, we gave your NPC to Niru.
Yep.
Let's see, where's that
Gilrun and North?
Yeah, the dwarf, I was thinking, or yeah.
Beat up dwarf. Okay.
Alan, you can pick. Do you want Gelrun or do you want Narth? I'll take whoever you don't want.
Whichever one's fine. Gelrun's fine. He's closer to me. I'll be more aware.
Alan should take the one that David wants.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Well, I'm not telling you which one I want. So
I can see through your bardish lies.
Okay.
I studied reverse psychology at my bard college.
Alrighty. Okay, you should be able to control Gelrun now. Test that for me real quick.
Yep.
By the way, am I control any NPC?
Yeah, you have...
The same one you had last time.
Oathavir. Yeah.
Okay, I'll check.
Yeah, and you should have it's the I should have their character sheet available to you.
Okay.
All right.
Just so you know, John, I can still select Gelrun, so I don't know if it's...
Yeah, I didn't take you off. Actually, okay. Everybody can
I can't click anybody else's, I don't think.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, I can... I can do the Rock one. I added Alan. I didn't remove you. Maybe it's foolish of me, but I'll trust you not to mess with it.
No, I'm not going to mess with it. I'm just pointing it out since I went to click to see. And yeah. Yeah, for that matter, I can select Dorathra as well, but I'm not going to click anything that I shouldn't.
Okay, so unfortunately, all my notes are a couple thousand miles away. So I'm going to need a little bit of help here. I know you guys killed one orc and, or what, you know, one of the orcs and their mounts. That is obvious from the fact that they are no longer here. But I know something happened with that blue circle. Remind me what happened with that blue circle. It's probably in chat, but
it's actually in chat. Yeah, Bala just added it because I asked the same question.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's that's my Hunger of Fedar. It's a 20.
On the gateway to the dark between stars, a region infested with unknown horrors. Tony, I love your character. Of blackness and bitter cold appears, centered on a point in the range and lasting. And lasting for the duration, this void is filled with a cacophony of soft whispers and slurping noises. Ooh, that can be heard up to 30 feet away. No light, magical or otherwise, can illuminate the area. Creatures fully within the area are blinded. The void creates a warp in the fabric of space, and the area is difficult terrain. Any creature that starts its turn takes 2d4 cold damage at the beginning of the turn. Or 2d6, sorry. I can read. I know numbers. Any creature that ends its turn in the area must succeed a dexterity saving throw or take 2d6 acid damage. As a, this is a crazy spell. That's third level. Okay. All right. All right. So that is that. We are at the top of the order. I added the turns for the orgs that appeared at the end of the last session, as well as for the little magma monsters that appeared as well. I only define two slots for the magma monsters because there's 12 of them and I'm not going to manage individual initiatives. All 12 of them.
John, where do I see the, is it the turn order?
Yeah, scroll down in the turn order.
It's in the turn order. Your characters is fairly low. It's about the a quarter of the way from the bottom, maybe a third of the way from the bottom, which will give you time to listen to the way people are doing things before we get to you. You won't see I think I mentioned you won't see the labels for all of the creatures that you're fighting as designed. I'll call out who's doing what as we go. And I'll move the turn order as it goes, so you'll see the this scroll as the turn goes by. All right, so first up is Lillian. And by the way, it's a good idea to keep an eye on what's going on and think about ahead what you want to do, because we've got a lot going on and each turn it takes a long time. So Lillian.
Yes, so yes. I am going to. Is this building unlocked, or does it look open? I.e., could I go inside and shoot out from the windows or from above?
You don't know.
I was hoping for a more concrete answer.
You don't know.
You absolutely don't know. Can I more concrete for you? Roll me a perception check.
Because we did see Dorothra, right? They came out of this structure. Whether or not they locked it behind them, I wouldn't know.
My point is, you may have seen her.
How's a natural one do?
A natural one doesn't do very well. You have absolutely no clue.
I mean, it's probably because I was trying to run away the whole time. I mean, exit bravely.
Tactical retreat.
Tactical retreat, yes.
All right. I'm just going to shoot these guys, this closest bird here.
The bird or the orc?
The bird first.
And you guys have been taking out the mounts. Yeah.
11?
11, unfortunately, will... Let me double check. Oh, 11. 11 might say.
I remember it didn't have a ton of AC because it's big.
No, it doesn't. Let me double check. That guy was already damaged a bit.
Max damage, 11.
For max damage, and max damage is enough to do it. You take it out, and the orc tumbles to the ground. Let's see if he takes any damage from that. I'm going to do a quick...
And does quick he end up prone as well?
He does.
No.
I'm going to rule unless he does, and he's not going to take a whole lot of damage from that, but he does take a little. Oh, actually,
never mind.
takes 4 points of damage from that, and that is okay. That middle one is all right.
What is 11 here? Is it
11 is the damage?
Okay.
Yeah.
The second 11 the amount of damage.
So if you hover over in that in the chat window, the couple mm-hmm. rolls that Lillian did, or mm-hmm. Alan, Lillian, you'll see that the first one was my perception roll. There's two rolls. The left side is the normal roll, and the right side is the advantage roll. I don't have advantage, so the right side is irrelevant. Or disadvantage, correct. If you're at disadvantage, then you take the minimum. If you're at advantage, you take the maximum. But in this case, it's just a normal roll, so you just always look at the left one. And then the second roll is for damage. And so this first roll is for hit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's computed against the enemy's AC. So I rolled an 11. It probably has an 11 AC because I think we've missed on a 10 and we've hit on an 11. So you can kind of just figure it out. And so an 11 hits. So then I click the longbow button and it will roll that damage. And if you hover over any of those individual numbers, you'll see how that number comes about. So it's like the hit for the longbow was 1d20 plus 8. So I rolled a 3, but I have a plus 8. So pretty much I have a very, very high chance of hitting these birds, as long as they're not at disadvantage.
90% chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the damage is a 1d8 plus 3. So I rolled an 8, and then plus 3 is the total that I did.
Yeah. And you'll see underneath that number, it has the word piercing there. That is a damage type, which normally is not pertinent, but there are cases where somebody may be resistant or immune to certain types of damage. So it's important to know what kind of damage it is for the DM to know how much applies to how much damage actually applies to the hit. And then immediately after that, I think you see the, I didn't have that up. You see the orc, I made a dexterity roll for the orc because the mount he was on was killed and fell to the ground. And so it threw the orc off. And mm-hmm. I use a dexterity check to see if he's able to avoid being damaged when he's thrown from the his mount. In his case, he rolled very, very poorly. That 5 is on a 20-sided die with a +1 dexterity, so he rolled a 4 +1. I set the difficulty in my mind at about a 10, which is a moderate difficulty, and it's not too bad. But he failed, so I rolled a d4 to see how much damage he took, and he took 4 points of damage. That is kind of my own off-the-cuff thing. That is not something that is written in the rules specifically, I don't think, anywhere. But it makes sense. Guy's on a mount, he gets knocked off, he screws up trying to recover from being thrown off, and he takes a little bit of damage.
Yeah, these orcs aren't wearing their helmets, you know?
No.
And injuries are a real risk. Okay, and then the other thing to note here too is I was shooting a longbow, and it says 150 feet, 600 feet there in the longbow. That's the effective range. So 150 feet is the range at which I have just normal, no advantage or disadvantage. But at 600, I can shoot up to 600 feet at disadvantage.
Yeah.
So I could actually hit these ones coming in further away just at disadvantage.
Lots of lines. Yeah, so there's a lot of information we're throwing at you. Just remember that you don't necessarily need to know all of it all the time. So
the key is whether or not you hit, and then if you do hit, how much damage do you do?
Okay.
And the math is fairly simple. It's just their AC times the hit dice that you rolled. And on that note, I'm going to use Hordebreaker to shoot the guy that just fell, but that will be at disadvantage, as I understand, because he is prone.
Because he is prone. Yeah, that's when you're
doesn't matter, it's huge.
I mean, technically he's not next to an ally anymore, right?
When you're making a ranged attack to a prone enemy, you have what's called disadvantage. So he has to use the smaller of the lesser of those two rolls. He happened to roll really well for both rolls, so his 21 is gonna hit.
Max damage again.
He does max damage, which is exactly what you needed, and you basically just pierce the guy in his back, and he dies.
So in essence, what we've learned is I am very effective at shooting my bow, but not at paying attention. Paying attention is not a quality I possess. You know, I actually, that's pretty accurate. So I am going to try to hit with my second attack. These guys coming down the road way up to the northeast.
Okay.
The one in front. So
the bird.
The bird.
Give him the bird. 18.
18.
Yeah, 18 will definitely hit.
Or 10. Wow.
Holy cow. That guy was already heavily damaged.
Max, and max minus one.
Yeah. Holy cow. And so that orc is also going to make a dexterity save.
Then I'll use my movement to reposition towards this building.
He manages to handle his mount falling down from under him. He does not get damaged. And with that roll, he manages to land on his feet. So he is not prone, but he is mountless.
All right.
Attack, Lillian was able to make three attacks because she made use of a special ability she has called Hordebreaker, which allows her to take a second attack against another different creature that's within 5 feet. So it's a special ability that Lillian has. Anyway, okay. So moving on. Next up is one of these orgs. Which happened to roll a natural 20 on his on and there.
Awesome initiative. You rolled 20, yeah. 18, 18, and 15.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He has a movement of 60, or 30, excuse me. So he's gonna take his 60 feet of movement. He's gonna do what's called a dash as his action, which is allows him to move an additional 20 feet
essentially you can take your action to move again, but then you don't get to like attack or open a door or whatever.
Yeah. So out. He's basically going to continue to move forward.
Do Orogs have the aggressive trait?
They do.
because that lets him basically take a dash as a bonus action, right?
It does, which means he can actually move an additional 30 feet. Chuck a javelin, which is actually a better idea.
Can you double dash, though?
So he can, as a bonus action, he can move up to its speed toward a hostile creature that it can see, which he's doing. So he has his movement of 30. He's got his aggressive bonus action of 30. So that's, so he's moved 60. And now he's got his action, because he hasn't used his action yet. So yeah, good call, David. Thank you.
David. No, I'm gonna play fair for everybody.
And unfortunately, the person that is immediately in front of him happens to be Darathra. So Lord Protector has a javelin that's going to be thrown at him by her, by a charging Aurug, and let's see what happens.
Can I get rid of that line that I just inadvertently drew?
So, okay, so he rolled, he got a 12 on his attack. Now I'm gonna make you figure out if that hits. So what he has to do is he has to meet or beat your armor class or AC. So you have your AC up there. Do you see what it is?
Yeah, it's in the character sheet, right?
Yes, that's right.
And it's under the action.
It's up at the top.
No, it's 14.
14, that's right. So his 12 does not meet or beat your armor class. But it's fairly close. So you were able to turn your shoulder aside as you saw the javelin coming, and the javelin glanced off your breastplate, and you're okay, which is good, because it would have done 8 points of damage. Sorry, go ahead. You have a question?
So the damage is something you would be dealing, right?
Or... Yeah, that's right. It would have done damage, but it did not. Okay. So, Oxor is one of the giants. You don't know his name. I don't know why I'm telling you his name.
Oh, that's one of the giants. Oh,
gee. Yeah, it is.
Looks like he's wearing a Santa hat.
These guys could use the aggressive action because they are stuck moving. They have a goal and they are not able to. 60 feet. Okay, be able to get. Oops. We're going to get about there. He uses his dash action. And that's really all he can do. He doesn't have a bonus action that he can do. That's about all he can do. Next up is the orc that that Lillian just knocked to the ground, or just knocked off his horse.
Bird, horse.
Ostrich, whatever. And he is going to move forward his 30 feet. He's going to move forward.
He wasn't knocked prone, was he?
He was not. Okay. He's gonna use a bonus action to move forward a full 60 feet. And thank you for reminding me of that aggressive action, because it makes combat a lot faster. And he's going to attack a javelin attack. He can't quite get to Lillian, which he'd really like to. Mm-hmm.
Is it me?
No. He's going to attack
Galrin.
He's going to attack Galrin. Galrin. Foehammer, who is actually already hurt a little bit. And
he seems to be wobbling back and forth.
He's shaking in fear.
And he gets a natural one. He is he's charging and he's so focused on charging, and he's a little bit dazed after you know, having to recover from having his mount shot out from under him, and he stumbles as he charges forward, and the javelin just goes flying off to the side and comes nowhere near anyone. So that was fortunate. Let's see. Next up is the orc and mount behind it. The axe beak has a 50 feet movement, so that can go 100 feet. And the orc.
And we'll trample the orc in front of it, right?
Nice try, but no.
Darn.
You can get just. He'll get a little bit past him. All right, close enough where he can certainly make another. He can make his own javelin attack against Gelrin, who is in an unfortunate position. And apparently has really dumb luck, because an 8 will not hit. Yeah, and so he's good. He is safe. All right. I assume 8 will not hit Gelrin, right?
Yeah, he's got AC 14.
Okay, hey, just out of curiosity, I was looking at Gelrin. There's a little icon on him. You know what that's from or for?
Oh, good question.
Because he's a ninja. Oh,
gone. He's a ninja.
What was that?
I was just adding icons.
I'm like, what? Yeah, because usually that's a status effect of some sort, and I couldn't think of what anyone would have done.
Ninja mask means?
What? I didn't know if he was prone for something.
That mask is, I think, the one I sometimes use for when a character is a creature is sleeping. Actually, because there are not very many good status icons there. There are two different masks. There's one with the closed eyes that I use. All right, so Othavir is up. Who's got Othavir?
Saints were
me.
Yeah. All right,
I just decided I'm moving to here. I hope it's 60. Wait a minute, 60, right?
That would be a if you're using dash action. That's fine.
Yeah, I should move back a little bit.
But that I'm not worried about being super precise on this map, because it's such a big map and it's such a big area. So that's fine.
Things it's just 60 feet. Okay, it ends my turn.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, all right.
Face.
All right, Agadir.
All right. Let's see. Since Agadir is eyeing Gelrin and sees that he's approximately 120 feet from him. Yes, I know that because I measured it, not because Agador's got some keen. Yeah, he's 120 feet. So the good news is I can dash 60 feet towards him. So that uses my movement and my dash, but let me figure out where 60 feet is going to end me up, because I didn't check that. But I want to get 60 feet. It'll put me there.
Just
behind Dars. Yep. That should theoretically put me in 60 feet range, so I can do a healing word.
Okay.
Word. At second level.
Okay.
To Gelrin. And let's hope I don't roll crappy, since Lillian was rolling really well. 4, 9. Well, I guess that's not
9 points
too bad.
Of healing. All right.
What are you going to say?
Let's
say something.
Yeah. So Gelrin add 9 points of.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. It's, whoever has Gelrin, go ahead. Yeah. There we go. Adjust the.
And that's my turn. I don't have anything else to do.
Speaking of the guy right next to you, Dars. Who has Dars?
It's me. Okay. So he's gonna hit the bird, like this one, the on at a disadvantage. So he's gonna use a sling.
Okay.
Range attack sling. How do I undo the attack roll?
Are you able to click on it? Dars.
Well, I could just run a d20 and add plus 4 to it.
Yeah, oh, if you click on the word sling.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. 16.
All right. 16 will hit.
Disadvantage.
Ooh, unfortunately a 10 is too low. That will not.
That's his action, and also his character traits are like does whatever it takes to survive. So he is going to what's his speed? Like it's 30 feet, right? Like, so
yeah,
he's gonna go 30 feet back and have right behind everyone else. So
okay,
so just gonna move back, so everybody else is gonna be in front of him.
Agador looks back at Dars and sneers as he runs forward as Dars runs back.
why is it in disadvantage for the attack?
Distance.
I see.
Yeah. A distance,
Sling has 30 feet of range, 120 feet with disadvantage.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a pretty short range weapon. Yeah. All right. Next up is one of the whole orcs that are in this this funky Hunger of Hadar sphere. So start of its turn, give me a 2d6 cold damage roll.
How are they rolling? Die? Sorry.
I'm sorry?
How are you guys rolling the die?
So in your character sheet, where it shows your actions, mm-hmm. If you hover over like the, what is it, great sword and then heavy crossbow, those should be clickable.
Yes.
And if you click on them, it will roll the dice for you.
Okay.
Yeah. So and that applies all of the all the modifiers that you need as well. It might be a good idea at some point for us to show you how it works with D&D Beyond, because that's more likely what your players are going to be using. But mm-hmm. for right now, we're just trying to get a feel for the mechanics. Okay. So
okay.
Wow. Max damage.
Two sixes. Damage.
Holy cow. Yeah.
And the terrain is difficult too.
And it's difficult terrain. Okay.
That damage applies to the bird and the.
I did 124 points of damage to it.
Oh. Yeah.
If it survives that, then we're in trouble.
Okay.
And also, they are blinded. Just see.
They're blinded, or they're because it's dark, they cannot see. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, because the blinded condition Point being, as soon as they move out of the sphere, they will be able to see.
Yes, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Also, give me another roll for the bird. Can't remember the axe beak.
Okay. 26, right? Not bad.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you hear something in this sphere that it makes us, you know, screams out in pain as it as it panics and
creatures
runs off. In its panic, let's see what direction is he going to go.
Was your D8 the cardinal directions?
I'm starting with
southwest.
Clockwise. Yeah, that's exactly right. He's going to move 50 feet. How far is 50 feet? Let me check that. Gets outside the sphere and it does not end its turn in the sphere. Wait a minute, difficult terrain, he can only move 25 feet. He's gonna end his turn in the sphere. Give me a let me check the
2d6.
He has to do a dexterity check. Let me get back there. Whoops! Stop scrolling.
So what it just says, any creature that ends dexterity saving throw, what is the dexterity target? Is it just 10?
No, it's the spell DC of the caster. So, what is your spell DC, Toph?
Save DC, right? Like,
save 15. DC. Yeah.
15.
15? Okay.
15, wow.
So the orc?
15. Oh.
18.
Orc makes it. The axe beak? Does not. All right. Yeah, so that's what? 2d6 acid damage, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, go ahead and roll for acid damage for the...
Oh.
All right, very nice. Okay, the feathers on this bird begin to melt away from the acidic mist that is surrounding it. And it is not too happy. It's looked pretty rough. All right, that is... its turn. Next up is Urgala.
Yep, she's going to fire a short bow at the bird to the north.
Well, there are so many things in play here. We're going to barely get through. We're going to get through two
rounds
of combat. All right, short bow. Attack
18.
Yeah, just about. That was the axe beak, right? That you attacked. Okay.
Yes. And then she makes two attacks. So she'll shoot again at the axe beak.
Okay.
14.
Another five
points.
It's damage. Nice. All right.
And that's it. She'll stay where she is.
Stay where she is. All right. Sandswood.
Still moving. And I can only move 50 feet.
Little gnome legs.
Yeah. Okay, I'll join everyone. Run. Okay.
Run. All right, sounds good. Run! All right, now these little magma guys off to the left. They're... Let's see, they're going to move what? What is their movement? 30 feet. Yeah, they're going to, I'm just going to take the opportunity to start they're just moving forward 60 feet and yeah, kind of just as they move forward, they're the flames that are part of their natural being just kind of start lighting small fires here and there, and yeah, you feel like they're really starting to cause a little bit of damage, and that's kind of why they're there. Starting fires, burning things down. So they've moved forward. Some of these structures are starting to catch a little bit on fire. It's not great. But they are not able to make any attacks as yet.
Doing my job.
And so Narth Tezrin. I'm sorry, were you saying something, Sanford?
No, I said they're stealing my job.
Oh, they're stealing your job. Yes. Yes. The fire. The fire obsessed one.
Yep.
So Narth. Who has Narth? That you, Jeff?
I do. Yeah, oh, I have Narth. I'm assuming I can't see these guys in the hunger of Hadar. If they're blinded and they can't see out, I probably can't see them inside the circle.
My reading of it, you can't see in either, but you'd be able to see the one that's sticking right halfway out.
Well, I mean,
yes. Yeah, you can see a portion of the bird that is sticking out.
All right, if I can see a portion of the bird, then I am going to attempt to shoot my hand crossbow. Let me pull up Narth at the portion of the bird that I can see.
Yep.
And I think, let me see what his range is on his hand crossbow. 30 feet. How far away am I?
You're about 45 feet.
45 feet?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good enough. So I'm not going to move the token, but I'm gonna play out what I'm gonna do because I have a cunning action that lets me take a bonus action to dash, disengage, or hide. So nice. I'm gonna use my 30 feet movement to run up to where I'm not gonna get disadvantage, fire at the axe beak, and then use my dash as a bonus action, 30 feet to come back to the corner that I'm at. So effectively, I'm not moving, but
yeah, got it.
Yep. So let me make a non-disadvantaged hand crossbow shot. And
unfortunately, an 8 will miss.
Yeah, he's good at missing. Ugh, all right, bummer. Well, that's his turn. He's right back to where he was in one bolt less.
Okay. That's it. All right. The orgs, a couple of these orgs are up. This guy is going to move forward 60 feet. Actually, he's going to use his full.
How are you guys measuring the
That's a good question. So real quick, he's going to use his bonus action, and his movement to move 90 feet. So if you look at the toolbar over on the left hand side, there's a little thing underneath the magnifying glass that looks like a ruler. And if you click that, mm-hmm. then you can go to a spot on the map, hold down your mouse key, and drag it, and you'll be able to.
Oh, got it.
See that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And normally this, because this is outdoors and it's a town map, mm-hmm. there's no grid. Normally you're playing on a map where there is a grid and every square is either 5 or 10 feet. So a lot of times you don't need to do the measurement, but this is kind of an unusual case where we don't have the grids available to kind of eyeball it. Yeah, okay, so he's made his full movement, action, bonus action, and movement. The next guy is gonna move. He's definitely going to, move up. He's just, yeah, okay. And he is going to take an attack at, who's this that's out front? Oh, this is near your character. I was going to take a javelin attack.
Mm.
I should have noted this before, but this is actually a disadvantage. Whoa. Because it's over 30 feet. A 17. That's a good roll. I assume hits you. It beats your AC of 14, right? A 17. Right.
I'm looking at it. So I'm. So I look at dexterity.
Here. Armor class. Armor class. AC.
Armor class is 14.
Right. So 17 beats it. So it does 7 points of damage. Now for these NPCs, again, this differs a little bit from how we do our D&D Beyond characters. But if you click on the character, you'll see in the green circle above the number 52. You see that?
Yeah,
that's the number of hit points they have. Okay. If you click on that box or that circle, excuse me, and you basically and a little text box will come up, you can put -7 enter and it will deduct 7 from the total. The other option is you can actually put, you know, 45 in there and it'll set it to 40. But if you do a minus or a plus in front of it, it'll add or subtract that to the.
I just put -7.
And then hit enter.
Yep.
Okay, one second. Why doesn't it show? It was showing earlier.
Oh, you might have to, if you selected the ruler, you might have to go back up and do this, select the pointer in the top
yes.
left.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then that will let you select again.
So that is 52. I yep. changed that to, there's a blank. Okay, -7.
You can either do -7 or just change it to a 45.
Okay.
Yep. So the -7 is so that people who can't do math can use it. and we all know you could do math. So I think you could choose your, pick your poison. All right. I'm highly confident you could subtract 7 in your head. okay. All right. After that, so that's the orgs' turn. One of them actually accomplished something for once. It's the second orc that is in the that is in this. this crazy circle thing. So let's, it's the axe beak and the orc. So roll your 2d6 cold damage for the orc. Tough. Tough. Bala? You there?
Hey, was it my turn?
Yeah.
Hunger of Hadar.
No, you have to,
cold damage.
Okay, sure.
The problem with these cool abilities, you have to constantly roll for them. Okay, minus six. And then roll again for the bird. Five, which is exactly the number of hit points the bird had left. So the bird falls, and let's make it dexterity saving throw with disadvantage for the orc, because he's blind and he doesn't know what the heck's going on.
So is the bird frozen or melting?
It is frozen for now. Oh my gosh. Oh, what a horrible roll. So he falls flat on his face. Takes 4 points of damage on top of the damage he's already taken. And he has to use half of his action. So the way it works when you're prone, if you want to stand up and move, or if you want to stand up from prone, you expend half of your movement. So, for example, this orc has a movement of 30 feet. He has to spend 15 of it to get up from a prone position. So now he's gotten up. He's got 15 feet with which to move. And he's blind, so I'm going to give him a random direction to run in. Seven, that is northwest. It's up and to the left. It's not actually northwest on this map, but whatever.
Right.
And that he is very lucky because that gets him just outside of the sphere's effect. So you see this badly damaged orc come stumbling out of this pitch black sphere that has appeared. And he looks like he's in bad shape. There's frostbite on everything, and he looks like he's landed on his face at some point, which is because he did. Good times. Tankrin.
Hey, John, before you switch to Tankrin, I'm going to play rules lawyer again. Since the orcs have aggressive trait.
I don't know, he could still use his bonus action and move to 30 feet.
I'll let you choose whether or not you want to do it. Inside the circle of Hadar, he couldn't see anybody, and he can only use it to advance towards someone he can see. But now that he's outside, I'm assuming he can see.
That's terrain too.
Man, so many rules to take into, because he does not move out of the sphere. Give me a 2d6 roll.
You can make a dex check first.
Oh, yes. Dexterity check. Yeah. Dexterity saving throw. You're right.
Against the 15.
A 10. Oh. He fails. So, go ahead and do 2d6 acid damage.
Okay.
Melting.
And this is why it's important to have everybody paying attention to all the rules all the time, because the DM can.
Too many rules for one person.
That's right.
This is only one.
Five damage is exactly the amount of hit points he had left. He's dead. He does not appear out of the sphere. You just hear a muffled gurgling noise.
Two birds entered, one bird exits.
There's a pod of...
And two orcs entered, one orc leaves.
Okay, now, Tancred, now that we've adjusted for my...
Yeah, shoot at the at the axe beak in the north, or up. And there's the luck, 6.
There you go.
I get a second attack.
You can second attack?
Because I'm level 5.
Yeah, two chances to miss, right?
Two chances, yeah, exactly. And there you go. Oh,
jeez. 7.
I'm balancing out the luck. Tinker's going to move 30 feet, which gets him to about there.
For Nero's edification, Tancred has a reputation for rolling poorly. Random number generator is not
random. It's not random.
Yeah, not so random.
I usually follow a close second with my rolls with Agador.
Yet you guys always survive, so, and you're taking these things out left and right, so you're doing pretty good, although so far you're just taking out the orcs, but all right, anything more, Tancred?
No, that's it. I moved and shot and took my action.
All right, now Gelrin Foehammer,
Gelrin is gonna
run
move here. Oh no, Gelrin doesn't run. It says so in his bio. Oh. But he is going to back up, turn around, grip his axe with both hands, and hold his action for the first thing that tries to move past him. He will attack twice.
Well, nice.
All right.
With his battle axe.
I'll interpret that as the first thing that comes in melee range.
Yep. Anything he can reach is going to get chopped at.
Anything ally included?
Okay. I guess I do need to specify anything that is an enemy, perceived as an enemy, or Sandswood.
Okay. Because that sounds silly as I have to clarify.
But yes. Yeah, only the orcs. He actually particularly hates orcs and giants.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. All right, so that's Gelrin's. So what happened there, by the way, Nero, is Gelrin did something called readying an action. So if you ready an action, you define what action you're going to take and what the trigger for that action is. And it has to be pretty specific. So in this case, if an enemy comes or Sandsworth, it comes within melee range, which is within 5 feet, then he will attack it with his great axe. So very specific action. So he has not actually used his action, but he's holding it. Now, if nothing comes within 5 feet of him, he ends up not doing anything this turn. So there's a little bit of, you know, a risk to it. Also, if you... This isn't important to either of you, but if you were a spellcaster and you were to hold an action of casting a spell, it actually consumes the energy for casting that spell. The spell slot, as it's called. But so there are some pros and cons to doing it. But in his case, he doesn't have to charge forward, and he could still potentially attack the creature. As it approaches him. So that's that. Now, Dorothra, Nero, your turn finally. So your character is what, right here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would she like to do?
I don't know if I can hit any of those. So if I look at for any attack, I think it says 30 feet, right?
So
what happened?
You have two different let me bring up your character sheet real quick. You have two different attacks you can make: the great sword and the heavy crossbow. Now the heavy crossbow. You're talking about speed. Mm-hmm. Talking about how far you can move. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can move 30 feet.
I can use my heavy crossbow, right? That has a range.
Right. Of 100 feet for normal, is its normal range. Mm-hmm. But you can attack up to 400 feet. Anything over 100 feet, you have disadvantage on, which means you take the lower of the two rolls that you roll. Mm-hmm. So if you can get within 100 feet, that's ideal. In fact, you are within 100 feet of, I'm going to rule it that you're within 100 feet of, you're basically exactly 100 feet away from those three. You're within a couple of feet of being 100 feet. So I'll say, even without moving, you can attack with your heavy crossbow if you'd rather fire than move or stand your ground or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, this is, I think, the straight would work. I think it's about 99.7 feet.
Yep.
So I think I'll go with the heavy crossbow. So I'm going
to... Okay. You attack, and you don't have anything that would give you an advantage on an attack, I don't think. No. So you attack, your attack roll is an 11. Mm-hmm. Aurans wear heavy armor. So they have a fairly high armor class. So an 11 is unfortunately not going to hit. That's interesting. It does not get any bonus to it. Okay, plus two to attack. Okay, unfortunately, that's not gonna hit. So you still have movement that you can take, and I don't think you have any bonus actions that you can do right now. What do you think that Dorathmo would do? Would she advance on these attacking creatures? Would she stand her ground? Would she try to find a more tactical position to fight from? What would she do?
Since she loves her country and she's seeing those fireballs come forward, she would do something to stop them.
Huh? Now between her and the magma monsters.
The magma monsters.
Yeah, so that big blue circle there that's right there. Mm-hmm. Toph, how long does the hunger of Hadar last?
Concentration one minute.
Okay, so 1 minute and it's a concentration spell. Okay, so
you can cancel the
any concentration spell, you can basically just drop concentration on it, right? All right, so between you and those magma monsters is this big black sphere that these orcs have just been disappearing into, and the ones that come out look like they're in terrible shape. So probably not something you want to enter.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen enough combat where you're pretty sure that's a bad idea.
I think I'll stay where I am in that case.
Alrighty. Let's see. Okay, cool. Then I think that's everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Toph.
Okay. So from where I am, can I see the giants? Like it's 300 feet, but they are giants. So I don't know if I could see them or
Yes, you can see that. Yeah, you've been able to see them over the top of the buildings and trees and things like that. They are very obvious. They're loud. They're giant, literally. They're easy to see.
I'm going to cast Cindy. So, and I'm just going to talk to them. My message is, once again, it has to be within 25 words, right? Like, so.
Right.
Okay. Stop the attack. We can help. We are capable individuals. We are a bunch of capable individuals. Ask your compatriots to retreat. We can help. That's it. I don't know if I get within 25.
Meg? Make a persuasion check.
Okay. Let me burn my spell.
What is a persuasion check?
Persuasion check is to attempt to persuade someone to do something that they wouldn't necessarily do voluntarily or automatically. And I'm struggling with whether or not I want to make you roll this with disadvantage or not.
Mm-hmm. I can roll again. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this has to be just with disadvantage.
Sure.
Yeah. You're fighting aggressive, violent. That's still really surprisingly good.
Is it like a threat you need to give them?
Oh, I'm not threatening. Like, I'm just offering.
Yeah, there's a difference between, so persuasion, you're trying to persuade somebody. You're trying to talk them into it, convince them to do it in a positive manner. Okay. It would be intimidation if he was trying to scare them into doing them. But these are literally giants. They tower above the trees. They make you look, you know, like teeny tiny, teeny tiny animals compared to them. And it'd be tough to intimidate a creature like that. Wow. How do I want to handle this?
The giant just responds, "No."
I mean, it's well, there's a couple of options here, and I think you avoided the harshest option. But you hear in response to, by the way, which one of you are targeting?
Whoever is closest or whoever I can see clearly, so I could probably this guy.
The one to the south? Okay. You hear him respond, "Run away and let us and leave us to our work, and you will not die painfully."
Okay.
That's his message to you. Okay. He's basically giving you the option to leave and not, you know, and not.
I'm gonna be a bro and tell Lillian that.
Yeah, like, yeah, this is where, I need.
This is where we're getting into how much you can fit into a 6 second turn. They had this interaction. You know, can you communicate this in a short couple of words?
Yeah, I'm gonna do something like, let me look at the mechanics of it. Use my bonus action to. I need 5 points. So I'm gonna use my bonus action to. Oh, it's gonna take 2 turns then. Okay, I'm gonna use my bonus action to convert 1 second level spell into sorcery points, so I get 3 sorcery points back.
Okay, all right. All right. Whew. Well, that was interesting. This character is gonna make my life difficult. okay, all right, anything else?
I'm gonna like move closer to 30 feet of someone so I could just talk to them the next round.
Okay.
So.
Alrighty.
Lillian close to me? Like, I'm just gonna move closer to Lillian, so I'm good. 60 feet, right? Like, I'm just gonna move 30 feet, 30 and feet, then right. I'm just gonna stay put. Yeah.
Sure. So there we are. Yeah, that's close enough. I'm not gonna worry about decimal points and garbage like that. Yeah, I think you were here when Toph was maybe first introduced. Mm-hmm. So you're familiar with the fact that Toph is. Deaf and mute. All right, great. So, oh yeah, that's right. You couldn't have said it.
Unlike Agadir is dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Unlike Agadir is dumb, yes.
Hey.
I gotta get him in when I can.
All right. Okay, great. Then moving on to the other creature, these little magma creatures, they're going to move full 60 feet forward there ish. And things begin to catch fire as they pass by. Moving down the road. And that's, let's see, do they have anything they can do? They don't actually have any really kind of, nope, they don't have a range attack. So yeah, that's all they're gonna do. Next is one of the giants. And I'm actually a little disappointed that these giants only have a 30 feet of movement. I feel like they should have more, but they don't. So
it'd be pretty overpowering if they could move like 60, if their base movement was like 60 feet.
Yeah, I just feel like, well, they're high, they're very, very high level. They're highly dangerous creatures. I mean, they're, I will not tell you how many hit points they have, but it's a lot. So, I mean, they're intended to be very dangerous creatures. So, I don't know. It kind of makes sense to me. All right. I don't know that that would be all that OP considering all things considered. Anyway, regardless. Next up is the Auric. He's going to... what is he going to do? He's going to use his aggressive movement, stop right here, and Who is that? Since his buddies have been attacking Darathra, he's going to take a turn at Othavir. So Othavir, let's see what happens. It's a disadvantage. 17. It's a 17 hit.
Oh, I get hit?
No, this is Othavir.
Othavir? Me, yes. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
My AC is 10.
Yes, so 5 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
All right. Oh, this arg is actually, his turn is out of order, so I'm going to have a move that I'm going to put him into his correct position. So he's going to move forward 60 feet. Right. And now he's going to attack you, Darathra, because you're really the only thing in his path. With disadvantage, that is a 10, which I believe your armor class is 14, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So that misses. So no problem. And then he actually goes into position right. Whoops. Between Sandswood and Urgala. Okay. All right. Then next up is, we're at the beginning, top of the order. I screwed that up. Let me get us back to the top of the order. Let's see where we are. We're at 7:52. Holy cow.
we can call it.
So yeah, that was all one round of combat. Niru, just a side comment. Most combat does not include the sheer number of pieces that we're dealing with here. Normally it's the party, which in this case is five individuals, and a handful of monsters, maybe anywhere from 2 to 10 or 12. In this case, we have a full, 11 on the player side, and something like two dozen on the monster side, maybe even more if I actually calculate up the totals. Definitely more. So this combat does not normally take this long. It's always a little slow. It takes some time, but we're just dealing with just huge numbers of players on the field, so to speak. And we do fairly short sessions, and this one started a little on the late side because we were setting things up getting you familiar with everything, which is fine. That's awesome. We're here to have fun, not to do things quickly necessarily. So okay. Anyway, that's it. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.
It was really fun.